Well, it's superlative season among Spartan podcast hosts. Congrats to our boy Greg, second team All-Soylent Conference, and Plum. Honorable mention among the nasally opinionated set. Not our finest showing, but a word to all the haters. Bet. You're listening to Can't Read, Can't Write. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Can't Read, Can't Write, the podcast that proves Spartans can talk. I'm Mike Jones, joined as always by the guy who can't get enough Christmas ale, Kevin Greck, and the guy who won't fire anyone on a Tuesday, Alex Plum. Gentlemen, how are we?
How'd you make it all the way to Tuesday with a full staff, Plum? I would have thought Monday.
Yeah, I go on LinkedIn, all I see is Alex Plum hiring, Alex Plum hiring.
More positions. Employee culture is great. I swear to you, the employee culture is great. Everyone's very happy and no one's afraid for anything.
You should have a survey about that to see how's your engagement, how's your intent to stay, drivers of the employee experience.
Honestly, with this podcast, I should start offering a SurveyMonkey discount for that exact purpose. That is a great suggestion.
A low blow. That was mean. Okay. All right. So it's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those. All right. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. All right. We're rolling up the sleeves over here.
Greg, are you doing well?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm second team all Soylent, which some of our listeners will be like, does he eat people? And it's like, no, he actually eats nothing. That's the joke.
That's the joke.
It's the
adrenochrome.
The product on the shelves, Soylent, right. That this is in reference
That's
to.
Exactly what it is.
Yes.
You and Anderson but Cooper if they tasted like rounding out the second shelves, team.
Maybe I would eat people. Yeah, you didn't make any conference, apparently.
I know. How did that make you feel?
Fine. It would have been weird. I had to read it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm blaming it on.
Mm.
If there was a worst in conference team, I would have given that honor to AJ Hogard. And if there was a worst in podcast hosting honor, I wouldn't give it to you, Jonesy. Come on. Maybe second, maybe third worst, but probably not worst.
Name some other people on pods that you would have given it to. Michigan State once. Ooh. Go.
Oh, we got names.
Oh, we've got a lot of names. And grievances.
A lot to say to you people.
Who's to say maybe some have been on this podcast? Maybe not.
Most have.
They know who they are.
All right. Well, we do want to thank everyone, of course, for listening. And if we could ask a small favor, please share the pod with Spartans in your life. You can rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Of course, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_pod. And hopefully, if you've not yet done it, please do check out the YouTube channel. You can find us there at Spartan_pod or search for Can't Read, Can't Write. A subscription and or comment on the video, I'm told, means a lot. All right. Who wants to take the reins this week?
I'm not doing it.
Gentlemen, this podcast always begins behind the green wall, where in the month of March, basketball always leads. Until we don't get out of the first weekend of the tournament, assuming we get into it. We'll talk basketball, we'll talk Northwestern, we'll talk at Indiana. And then we'll talk about hockey. Because there's real joy there, Adam Nightingale bringing more Brinks money to his home. Tennis, we'll head off Grand River to talk about all kinds of things happening in sports, collegiate and otherwise, MSU adjacent and otherwise. We'll preview the Minnesota game, LOL, and then we'll take your Twitter questions. That is a full stack.
Can I petition the group, the podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can we just stop covering the basketball team? Can we just ignore them from here on out?
We're so close. Yeah.
Sounds fair.
Part of me is like, yes, just go down with the ship. Let's do this.
Yep.
But this group is so inept and so unlikable. Not all of them, but like in the aggregate.
Enough. Yep. Enough of them.
I suggest that we just skip it. And this is just like lean back, crack a couple beers, shoot the breeze. Off-topic season.
Oh!
That's my propose. I don't know what's on the agenda, but I propose an amendment to the agenda. We talk, we bring up all the segment fishing from Twitter questions past. We just go through all of those. Like we kick it off. We kick off the summer on this podcast right now because I watched the Northwestern Indiana games and I don't want to talk about them.
That's right.
I have no interest.
Let's talk about global warming.
Yes, better. Better than talking about this team.
I mean,
team.
If we're going to talk about things we can't change, let's do that.
Might as well.
Might as well.
You know what? Honestly, though, I don't need your climate sensationalism, Plum. Okay. Renewables are on the rise. Our overall CO2 contributions are declining.
Listen.
And now climate scientists think that we're not going to hit those really terrible +3.5, mm-hmm. +4 degrees.
We're
going to
surpass them. That's right. Yeah.
No.
We're going to leapfrog.
The climate accords in Paris are going to bring those down.
Leapfrog. Listen, what's going to fix it is the fact that Subaru, and I say this as one Forester driver to another Forester family.
Just us.
Coming out with a hybrid Forester in 2025. So come through, Subaru.
It is actually off topic season now. There it is. Yeah.
We've leaned all the way in. God, I can't wait to see what that just does to the listeners. Dang.
I probably feel the same way.
We went from 7 to 3 just in that 1 minute.
I'm concerned, though, that the tire fire that is this basketball program is going to contribute substantially to at least like +2, +3 degrees. I don't know if it's our tire fire a little bit, and then the U of M tire fire is going to contribute plus like 10 degrees centigrade to global warming. And you're right. We're screwed. It's over.
Mailing. All right. Let me ask this question.
Yeah.
We beat Northwestern 53-49, but.
Yeah, it felt like it.
But we didn't win.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, truly, as I was sick sitting in Greg's living room watching this game, Greg was maniacally cackling watching this team miss layup after layup after layup. By some miracle, and we were in consensus on this.
Yeah.
We were only down 5 at the half.
That's right. Yeah.
Inexplicably.
That's right.
That happened in both of these games, by the way. Yeah. Let's continue talking about Northwestern.
So, I mean, it was eerily reminiscent a shooting performance of the James Madison game. Mm. MSU goes 2 for 17 from beyond the arc.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Now, I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna box Malik Hall out for a second because I'm not gonna say anything too nice about him, but he put in a performance befitting of a senior night. Is the nicest thing I'll say about him. And I'm sorry, Malik. I have to keep doing this. I have no choice. His performance was as stark of a contrast to the last time we played Northwestern, where he put up 0-0-0-0-0 and one foul as it could possibly be. Malik Hall, 17 rebounds, 15 points. I mean, incredible. Now, let's talk about those 17 rebounds for a second because they're indicative of a larger problem for Michigan State in this game. Michigan State had 19 rebounds on 40 misses, nearly a 50%
mm-hmm.
offensive rebounding rate and scored a measly 10.
53 points, yep.
Chance points.
Off the second chance, yeah.
Yeah, 19 offensive rebounds and scored 10 second chance points. Like, I don't know that you could pick a stat that is more indicative of just
bad
ass.
Bad. Bad. B-A double, triple, quadruple D.
I mean, this was a team that was 12 for 24 at the rim and 5 for 19 in mid-range twos. 5 for 19 at long two.
Long to you.
Oh my God. If we're talking about positives, and we should for a moment, let's talk about Trey Holloman. Yeah.
Probably the reason won the game.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Goes down at the end of the game when we need the most against unranked Northwestern at home. And again, I understand this isn't your grandpappy's Northwestern team.
Northwestern, who's ranked higher than us, though, in the Big Ten standings.
And have to be.
Correct. That's exactly right, Plum. They'd have to be. But still, it's the continuation of what we've talked about time after time on this podcast. It's the debasement of this program and what it's meant to be, where, again, we require an underclassman to have ice in his veins.
Correct.
Doing the thing. I'm doing the reference to the thing from the internet. The
thing. Yep, that's the thing.
And to seal this game. And it's just not acceptable. We can't be in these situations where you're just scraping by. You're winning one of the last five. It's in this, in this manner. This is unacceptable for a program of the stature of Michigan State University. And it's especially unacceptable for a team that is going to graduate six dudes this year. Basketball. College basketball is supposed to be get old fast, where more and more experience helps benefit the team win, particularly in these close game scenarios. But it's the sophomore that has to come in and have ice in his veins and hit those free throws. And on one hand, I'm worried about the future of this team because it's going to change so much and we've seen so little from what will remain. But on the other hand, I just am so excited to get rid of all these seniors that I just don't care.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time when we've had more consistent inconsistency out of the senior core?
Can you think of a time that we've limped into March like this? Like, I truly cannot.
Yeah, because even years that have been questionable as of late, they rallied.
It was all on the up. You were all upswing. Yep. All upswing. There's none of that here. I mean, there's just and I think that's why there's so much fatalism. Because what do you, I mean, this is 53. I mean, I chuckled when I just checked the score when I didn't deign to watch Northwestern game.
You were in Dune.
We were watching Dune with Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Love Tim. Hey, Tim. But. That was a silly, silly score. Oh, do we have 20 points? What was it? Yeah, we had 20 points at the first half. 20 points in the first half. So this is unacceptable for senior night at home. They all really deserved to get some sort of parasite or worm from kissing the Spartan helm, because none of them deserved it. Not one. And can I ask this question?
Yeah.
Why is it that people are prognosticating that AJ isn't necessarily leaving?
I'm prognosticating that I will burn AJ's house to the ground.
That's all.
If
that's
he
all I need.
That he's coming back.
Yep, that's all I need.
And when he collects his things,
you'll go to University Wiener and burn that down too.
I'll burn that down. Well, no, I'm not going to touch University. That's too far. You've gone too far, Michael.
Tire fires.
But I will go from, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is, apartment complex to apartment complex with gasoline and oily rags, whatever it takes to make it obvious
that he can't come
this
back.
This program has to move on.
Yeah.
There is, speaking of moving on, I think we should probably go to the senior day. This is senior day. We should.
Quick quiz. But how many points do you think the Bigs had?
Zero. One wasn't Mahdi. Yeah, we had one. Yeah, 1 for 2 on free throws. Fucker couldn't even get both of his free throws. Jesus fuck.
One for two. One point when Northwestern, who's also hobbled, I mean, decimated by injury, that program.
Yeah,
and their most serviceable big man gets in foul trouble early. Like.
Let's talk about when your best player isn't playing in the game for whatever reason and how you still can't fucking win. Let's talk about that. How's that for a transition?
Well, there's Indiana. One last thing that I want to do on this game.
Oh.
Two for 17 from three. We saw it at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
We're seeing it now at the end of the season. It's poetry. It rhymes. Huge disappointment to begin the year.
Yeah.
Massive disappointment to end it.
That
is the story of 2024 Michigan State basketball.
That's great.
Do you think it's sort of a mirror situation? Are we going to have another stinker? Or do you think we're on the way back out?
I have precisely no faith that this team will beat Minnesota in Minneapolis. So I expect another stinker.
It is noon on a Thursday, so
I don't know.
Does it matter? Does anything matter?
Has anyone had a noon on a Thursday Cleveland steamer before? I don't know. I guess a Minneapolis steamer in this case.
Minneapolis steamer. Breakfast steamer. I don't know what the accent's for, but neither do you.
All right. Let's talk about that Indiana game. So Michigan State goes to Assembly Hall, loses 64-65. I think you have to acknowledge that Khalil Ware for Indiana played an outstanding game.
Couldn't do anything.
We'll get to Michigan State's woes, and there were a plenty. But you'd like to be able to credit him with being a beast,
yeah,
and have the W. But I mean, that dude was taking contested shots. I mean, he was incredible, absolutely incredible. Is the reason Indiana won that game.
You're talking about transfer big man Khalil Ware, right? First year transfer big man.
Only I think you're headed to NBA big man.
Yeah. I think podcast, Can't Read, Can't Write podcast contributor and guy that we were obviously referencing when we were talking earlier about not good hosts, Graham Couch, said it best. We have to acknowledge he said it best. It was like salt in an open wound watching a transfer big man just dominate
destroy us.
This team. Sucked. And you had to tip the cap. You had to. But at the same time, you're just looking at those jabronis on the bench and you're just going like, let's drink until our hearts stop. Let's go.
It was a painful one. I think the stat was Indiana's big men combined for 57 of their 65 points. Obviously, Khalil Ware with 28 in his own right deserves a ton of credit. But Malik Renu played a solid game with 16 points. And meanwhile,
can we talk about a Malik that didn't play as well? So because this is my point. Go ahead. Yeah, you finish because I'm going to really let it have it.
Because you're going to apologize to him? Is that what it is?
I don't want to get in the position of not nagging Malik. But here's the reason that the salt actually hurts a lot harder about what happened. Is that Indiana has size. They could play two bigs at the same time.
Right.
And they did. And then they doubled Malik with two bigs. And because we don't have a big that can do anything. Truly. Like, I'm not going to get... Frankly, Malik, in that scenario, like 7 boards, 7 points, like I'm not going to get on Malik about that. That's not his fault. And, you know, like who else were you going to put in there, truly? Like, I mean, he didn't play a bad game. And Indiana every time doubled him because he's the only person who can score in the post. And so... Now I expect more out of you, Malik, as a senior. I'm making excuses for you, but you shouldn't make excuses for yourself. Play better. But
do you think Izzo took some kind of sick satisfaction in starting Xavier Booker and then having him just sort of fall apart immediately in the first 5 minutes?
And you know what?
So this is what I want to say. This is what I guess. They are different games. Northwestern and Indiana are different games, different players. I think you very ably and correctly pointed out why there is an asterisk around a 7-point game for Malik and how that maybe is on par with the 15-point game he gave us at Northwestern because he was double teamed. And the fact that we're having to make these excuses for him is the very reason why he should be grateful to the coaches and the media of the Big Ten for even thinking to deign him honorable mention. But the fact that he decided to engage on social media with a sort of bet quote tweet on that is the most absolutely skin crawling lack of self-aware. Am I taking crazy pills? Malik, have you been here this season? What are you talking about? There's zero. You don't even deserve that. I don't know.
Jonesy, do you want to expand on this for the audience in case they're not aware?
Yeah, so Honorifics came out for the All Big Ten team, and Tyson Walker selected second All Big Ten team. And AJ, here's the real insult, though, to Malik Hall. Malik Hall honorable mention Big Ten along with AJ Hogard.
Yeah.
And so that's truly good.
So I'm kind of with Malik on this one.
AJ Hogard's inclusion is inexcusable. And Graham, you need to come onto this podcast and defend your ilk because that is horrendous.
Take up the mantle of your ilk.
But I hope that the reason that he's on that list is just so you can fuck with Malik because that is expert level. And that's the only reason that I'll allow it.
I mean,
the thing I think that needles me the most in this, the being upset about it,
yeah,
is that it's obviously just performative. Mm-hmm. If he actually cared, if they were actually bothered by this, the team would be better. The outcomes would be better. But they don't. And it's too late. It's after the end of your senior season. This team is not going on a run. They are who they are.
Yeah.
Like, it is just so cheap and fleeting to go on social media and be like, nah. It's similar to AJ Hogard feeling slighted for not being involved or included on these lists at the beginning of the season. And you didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So
you've
written your story. It's almost certainly in stone. You've got to go to, I don't think a Final Four even. I shouldn't go over the top.
But you might as well say you could drive a truck into my house that's full of money and that might redeem it. What are you, the Candyman? None of this is real. It's all make believe. I got one more person I need to bring up, though, and that's just to be consistent with my opprobrium from last month. Mari Sissoko, more like Sischoko. I have big, big, big questions around how an individual who only plays 6 minutes in a game is able to rack up four personal fouls. What is going on here? And the 2 points that he had from the field, by the way, he had no rebounds. This wasn't a putback. Just a field goal out of the blue, balls in his hands. And he's like, oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I didn't remember it. Well, okay. The style points, 4 fouls in 6 minutes. That's an achievement.
Also, I think I'm stealing this from Graham, but the thing that Tom Izzo needs to rub his face in every night, Graham said this nicer, but it is the box score. Because you chose not to go get a center, and the dude who started 24 games for you this year is now relegated to single digit minutes for the last five games. Like, Tom should have to sit in that shit, and like, it should be on, like, and I'm not trying to take any more of a dump on Mati Sissoko than everyone else has. Like, that's Minneapolis, we all know. The Indianapolis steamer.
Minneapolis steamer.
But it's time for, you know, I would hope that. I don't, you know, I appreciate that Tom's not going to say anything. Why would he? And because, you know, he still needs Mati Sissoko to play his hardest for the remainder of the season.
To what end? But I don't know. But the indignity that Mati Sissoko didn't even. I'm taking that back. I'm in the wrong game. Did he start against Northwestern? Is that why he played just the 3 minutes that he played?
He did, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did start against Northwestern.
That's why. Yep. Senior night. Got it.
Jonesy, to go back to your point, I think if we've had. Our criticisms of Tom Izzo have kind of come and gone. We've talked about his staff when convenient. We've talked about, you know, play time when convenient. We've talked about, we go all the way back to when we criticized him, Cassius's sophomore year for not greenlighting him to shoot more threes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there has been one consistent thread in our criticism of Tom Izzo. When you get to do a podcast for 5 years as we have, you get a body of work, and most of it should not be double checked. Don't go back and listen to it. But I will cherry pick the things that we're good at and we were right about. And one of them was resource management. Whether Tom Izzo is giving, you know, Davis Smith a athletic scholarship that he does not need as his dad walks out on senior day, just decked to the nines and points up at his number in the rafters. Just worthless, just throwing away the roster management over the last 5 years or longer from Tom Izzo has so greatly affected the outcomes of these seasons that like, I don't even know how to quantify it. And he'll always go back to like, what about, you know, you've got to have a certain, You've got to have a certain culture. You got to have buy-in. Did this team have a culture? Did this team have buy-in? What was the culture of this team this year? It was a wasted season at a time that, and I understand that maybe in retrospect that the staff would do other things, but they get paid crazy amounts of money to anticipate this kind of stuff.
Yes.
We're really bringing in a transfer big, especially if he's older, only affects Mati, who you already knew who this guy was. I get that Tom Izzo should get to dictate this. He's a legend. He's already in the College Basketball Hall of Fame. But there are things about this program right now that are so obvious to anyone that bothers to watch for any period of time. And he just refuses to make any changes or acknowledge those. And I don't know. Do you think this old dog's going to learn a new trick again?
Well,
here's
my hot take on that.
He can. Yeah.
Nope.
Tell us 03-12-2024, which is a YouTube only joke. If you want to get that joke, you got to go.
No, that doesn't show up on YouTube either. So that's not going to.
It's a joke for literally no one.
Just you.
My favorite jokes.
Just you.
The bigger question mark, and we've talked about this, is that Tom Izzo's not recruited a center. Hasn't gotten one. Yeah. And you might say, well, he did get Booker. That's not really Booker's position at the next level.
As he demonstrates every time he gets the ball on the perimeter and just jacks it as soon as he humanly can put that ball on.
And the fact of the matter is that if Booker is as good as a prospect as, you know, maybe we hope that he is, right? That we hope, because we've seen growth in season, you'd hope an off season that you would see, you know, serious progression. You know, he's not going to be around next year. Or after next year. So it seems to me that Tom at some point in time realized that his best case scenario was that he had pretty serviceable turds. And that maybe, like, maybe Motti turned into a serviceable turd that he could keep around for another year, and Jackson and Carson maybe take a lead, right? But yep. like that hasn't happened. And so that was Tom's upside. The downside was, I'll just go get a big. And like, I'm not going to get a freshman. I'm not going to recruit it out of high school because I don't need it, because I got two sophomores. I can wait a year to do that. So like, it seems abundantly clear to me there is no world in which he doesn't go get a big. Mm-hmm. You just hope that he lands someone like Khalil Ware. And, you know, which we talked last offseason, we were consistent on this. We defended him to a degree in that it was a needle in a haystack that he was looking for. It had to be a grad transfer, right? Like, it had to be.
Yep.
There were a lot of them. There's a number of them in the Big Ten. Or you could have gotten a pro prospect like Khalil and say, come here for 1 year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Treat him like an upperclassman. There's other issues, though, as well.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the last play of the game against Indiana in winning time?
I do, but before we do, I want to talk about the bulk of our scoring. Tyson Walker scored 30 points in this game.
Yeah.
Which brings us to now 0-6 when Tyson Walker scores more than 25 points. And here's the thing.
Which seemed like an atrocity when these things were happening earlier on. It seemed like, how do we waste this spectacular game from Tyson Walker? Wrong.
Correct.
Wrong.
Correct.
We had it wrong then. Now we understand what it means. Continue, Jonesy.
Yeah, it's because the offense sucks. Like, it is, there's no movement. Like, truly, the other thing is that when Tyson Walker goes into superhuman mode, which he did for a while, everyone else just stops. They're watching just like we are. They stop moving. Half the reason the MSU got super hot for a second is AJ was penetrating the lane, creating things for other people. And then Tyson gets hot and he stops doing it. He just stops. The offense in both of these games was equally maddening. The difference is that Tyson Walker found his groove again. Like, but it is ass. It is bad offense. This isn't even long to you nonsense, which is also bad offense statistically speaking. But it is. An ugly thing to look at, and it's because it is halfway a motor-related issue for the entirety of the team. Fucking move. Like, truly, someone on the floor, move. Create for other people through your movement.
That call sucks. To end the game, where it was just Tyson iso ball on one side of the court.
Made sense.
Wasn't even iso ball creating a bad matchup. It was just iso ball. They didn't pick and roll to create a big man on him. Like, did Tom just draw that stagnant up? Is that the play they came out with?
Well, you got 30. Why can't you do 32? 33? 34?
30 infinity. Why not?
30 infinity.
There was also talk about long to you. I'm going to bring it back to this. We're going to do a deep dive during the summer. I'm segment fishing now about us as long to you. Malik Hall had a moment where he passed up a wide open three so he could dribble into a mid-range two.
God, love
it. Became contested. He rose up and he bricked. And I just lost it. Jonesy, you weren't there in the room, sick, but I cackled and cackled and laughed. I moved from my comfortable seat up on a couch down onto the floor, where I rolled around back and forth, and then I pulled my knees up into me and began crying. And that was my experience with the Indiana game. And that's another joke for the YouTube crowd. I was actually demonstrating pulling up my knees and also crying. So if you're listening on podcast, click the link in the description.
Watch Go ahead and have a look. Go YouTube. Ahead and have a look at his comely visage.
And if you're wondering why he's bleeding right now, it's because his knees are so sharp from his boniness.
so sharp.
Soylent doesn't put a lot of weight on, okay? Mm-mm. It just Mm-mm. keeps you alive. It just sustains
life. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Oh my God.
Is there anything else, podcast host Michael Jones, from this that we need to continue to subject ourselves to? Do we want to talk about like Jaden Akins?
Do we want to? Does it matter?
Does Jaden Akins want to be talked about?
No, I mean, not like, in any positive way.
He shot terribly, except for like a hot second in the Indiana game. He managed to bumble the ball on multiple occasions. It was bad. It was an all-around bad performance. It's been a bad streak from him. I don't, you know, there's some conversation about him moving to the two guard. I don't know in what world anyone's thinking that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk? Do we want to talk about the Izzo comment around the center position, though? Did you all see this quote?
No.
So the quote, Kyle Austin got it from MLive, and Izzo's quote was, I'm going to paraphrase here, that, you know, our preseason expectations weren't based upon us being excellent at the center. Mm-hmm. It was based upon the guard play. Stating that, you know, these guys were on magazine covers and, you know,
what
center by committee cover? Seemed.
Minneapolis Steamer magazine? Like, what magazine cover had this?
I think it was a Delta In-Flight magazine. I don't know.
That's good.
That's good. I think someone was advertising Boeing aircrafts. But the at first blush, there's a logic to what he says, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one expected them to be excellent at the center position. And I think it's fair to even say, all right, Tom, borderline buy what you're selling, but you really got to couch in there and maybe that Jackson Kohler getting hurt, you know, set things back. It's hard for me to believe that you went in with zero, like with so low expectations of your own players. That's the piece of this that's frustrating. But
how about low expectations of himself?
Well, right, but the more you think about it, the more that the comments become infuriating, because it's like, wait, you mean to say, Tom, you knew you had a problem. You knew you didn't have excellence somewhere.
Yeah.
And lo, we've created a solution to that problem. Mm-hmm. We call it
that part.
Toilet paper.
And it just.
Oh, yes. That TP.
Just so happens to be the hottest thing in college sports right now. It's literally everywhere and in your face.
It's in Dr. Pepper commercials.
I don't really care what Tom has to say at this point. And I'll back up my point. One, after the Northwestern game, he talked about like all of the challenges, and then he talked about some good things. Or no, forgive me, I'm not even talking about the Northwestern game. I'm talking about the Purdue game. He like tried to bring in some like, you know, or no, it was the Indiana. I'm totally messing up. The Indiana game. He talked about like, yeah, we had some challenges, but also we fought back and we did all that stuff. And we did. That's one. Two is that he called two timeouts to stop runs from Indiana in this game. And that is something that the Tom Izzo that I know only does in the tournament, because he only does it when the season's over and he needs to actually step in and intervene and there are no more lessons to be learned. And he's doing it now because he's given up on this team the way that this podcast has given up on this team. So I don't particularly care what he says about these guys. I don't particularly care what he says about evaluations from the beginning of the year. It's all garbage. It's all to just be thrown out. This season is effectively over, whether they go to the tournament or not. And I don't think, I mean, they probably do go to the tournament, but I don't think it's certain.
And it's definitely not certain. Let me ask this, because I think that's a great point. And I guess that's maybe where we can end this segment. But I just want to say this.
Oh, we got to dunk on Tom Izzo about one other thing.
Well,
okay.
Small thing.
I feel like his intention was to get through this season because he wanted to be here for Stevie's senior season. And I have to say, I would not be surprised if he announces his retirement. I don't know that he will, but it would make sense. He has coached in a way that makes me feel like he doesn't give a fuck anymore. That everything that he's done and everything that he's not done indicates that clearly. If and when we lose on the road in Minneapolis Steamer, we do not make the tournament. There's not a universe where an 18-14 team with the down cycle record that we've had. Do you think we make the tournament?
The only reason we might be in Dayton is the net. The net rating is the only reason to think that we would. There's no impressive wins. There's no momentum on this team.
None.
Their resume does not really, you know, have any distinct wins that others don't. It's all sort of in the wash that we have become somehow a statistical darling, and it has worked out. It would be like, Jonesy, do you know exactly like the highest ranked net team that didn't make the tournament? It was like 33 or something, and we're like 25 ish right now.
Yeah. But do we stay 25 when we lose to Minnesota on the road? I mean, I guess that
depends on by how much
you drop, but that's not a bad loss on paper according to the net. And
it's a Q2 neutral site loss, like,
and also
if it's close, it's not a bad loss.
We hate this team. We don't want to watch them in the tournament, but the committee wants them in the tournament.
That's it.
Tom Izzo, green and white. So I don't know.
I hope we get shellacked then, because I guess, and this is what I'm saying, is I don't want us to go to the tournament. I want this streak to be done. I'm tired of being proud about a streak that doesn't mean anything. Streaks don't mean anything when you coach as poorly as Tom Izzo was coached. Tom Izzo, by the standard of Tom Izzo, let's hold Tom Izzo to his own standard. Mm-hmm. By his own standard, this has to be the worst he has ever coached. His decision-making, as you pointed out, his roster management, his inability to motivate his team, his inability to get, I mean, we've watched months of no set rotations with any consistency. By his own standard, this is the worst that Tom has ever done. And he'll probably get into the tournament, and he doesn't deserve it. And I would love to see that happen, to see whether there really is any fire in the old man. If there's anything there, otherwise, hit the fucking road, Tom. You've got your statues. You've got your football building. You've got whatever the fuck else you're going to get. You will live in the glory, the halcyon glory of this school forever. Move along, because this has been infuriating to watch. And I hate saying that because I feel like I love Tom Izzo. I love him. I just love him. And this is a fucking stinker. It sucks.
Well, you lit it up, Plum. And sorry to interrupt. Our esteemed podcast host, second worst podcast host in all of...
Didn't even get an honorific this year.
I think it's worth... What happens, Plum, if confirmed listener Alan Haller in a state? He gets in a manic state. He gets drunk one night. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's another day. Maybe it's at our, you know, first four-in regional in Dayton or whatever it is. Forwards this podcast to Tom Izzo. I personally think that there is still fight in him, and I think that there are things that can be done. Do you think that he would do it? Because I've always thought that the difference between D'Antonio and Izzo is, they're getting on in their careers. Uh-huh. Mark D'Antonio looked at what it took to continue to be the coach, and he decided, I'd rather be grandpa.
Yep.
And that's fine. There's nothing. That's the decision that I would make.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
Grouch here.
Yep.
Psychopath in terms of food, but not psychopath in terms of being like an arch competitor.
Yep.
That's a decision that I would make.
Yep.
But I think Tom Izzo has it within him to be psychopath competitor, but it requires tough decisions.
Well, it requires
you is, do you think that he has that in him?
He has it in him. He doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know how to locate it, and he doesn't know what to do with the rage that is within him. And here's how we know this. He's eating himself up from the inside because he can't. He's lost the capacity or the knowledge or the ability, whatever it is, in how to get on these guys and get in their ass and make them perform. He's been able to do that for decades with every single Spartan, such that when anything comes out on the media, you get a phalanx of MSU alums who've played and survived that basketball program and who've said, Tom gets in our ass because he loves us and it always made us better. And for whatever reason, Tom has lost that capacity. Second, he has to be taking his ire out on the only people that he can, which are the other professionals that he's hired around him, because they won't say boo to him. Mm-hmm. They live in fear of him. You barely see them standing up or doing anything. And when they do, he's routinely telling them to sit back down. So they've become a committee of yes men. They're not helping him identify flaws in the program or encouraging him to, I don't know, recruit a five. There are failures throughout the program, and the psychopath energy guy that is at the core of Tom Izzo that exists, it's there. I'm losing the belief or the capacity to believe that Tom is able to access it, to tap into it, to do something with it in a constructive way like he has been able to for decades. And that's why I'm saying, like, then don't give us the tournament. If he cares about anything, it should be his legacy. But if he can coach like this and still make the tournament, and this is the legacy, what are we doing? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. This is too many years of middling performance from a program that is the elite program, the elitist program in the Big Ten.
And he made it that way.
He did that. So who are you? Who is this guy that we're getting now? I don't know.
Two quick thoughts.
Jonesy.
One, Greg, you mentioned the timeout that was called. He only does that during the tournament because seasons might be over. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe that's why he called the timeout. The other thing is, around this conversation, you have to wonder, and this is sort of piggybacking off of a point, Greg, you made 2 weeks ago. I don't know that any of us here loved AJ Hogard ever. We had higher hopes for him for sure, but I don't know that any of us loved him as a player.
If I may, can I lift back the curtain real quick?
Please.
Yeah.
I usually get to name the title episodes, and longtime listeners of this podcast might remember that one of them was called Changing of the Hogard. And I was immensely proud of that title.
That's right.
At that time, when it became clear that he was taking over from Rocket Watts, it would have been Foster Lawyer, I guess, at that time.
Or Rocket Watts, who's to say?
Doesn't matter. But it was like, oh, here's the guy. Here's the next.
We got him.
Here's the next era of MSU sports.
And that's partly true.
The betrayal of what that turned into, where I can't wait for the next changing of the Hogard is one of, like, it's so immensely personal to me and reflects on me. Yep. That anyway, continue.
Well,
thank you.
If it's been that irritating for us as fans to watch the inconsistency, the effort-related things, the lack of leadership out of AJ Hogard, the seeming inability for you to get into him or his ability to appropriately get into his teammates, then I can only imagine how much it bothers Tom Izzo. Mm-hmm. Because the way we all view, and almost all of our listeners and viewers view Michigan State basketball, view college basketball at all, is through the lens that Tom Izzo created for us to view the game of basketball.
That's true.
And so the reason we hate AJ Hogard, who, you know, if he was at Illinois, they might not hate him there.
Sure.
The reason we hate AJ Hogard is because you have to know at some level he is a betrayal to Tom Izzo's values. And so you have the to program. Wonder, does Tom Izzo hate AJ Hogard? Which then makes you wonder, is there anyone that Tom Izzo looks at with love more than he looks at Jeremy Fierce? And so
you think Stevie's there on the bench, just like
poor Stevie getting looked right through
for sure. So that's a long wind up to Breck, to your point. You mentioned what are maybe the impacts of Jeremy Fierce not being here. And it might also play into the way Tom Izzo has literally coached this team.
Yeah.
Because for maybe to a degree for Tom, I've tried. It doesn't fucking matter. These guys are the worst. And that, but that also ultimately is on him because he recruited them.
Correct. More to the point, he continues to allow AJ Hogard to wear those fucking idiotic compression pants under his shorts. Take off the pants, you loon. They're not effective. You don't look cool. They're not helping you play basketball. You're an absolute disgrace.
All right. Then the last thing I want to get on about Tom Izzo is Tom likes to bring people around that he shouldn't bring around. We've seen this in some pretty extreme ways.
Don't give this guy any. Don't do it. No one cares.
Let's just say, Tom.
Don't. Yeah, it just makes no sense.
Use your tickets better than that piece of shit.
There you go.
So what Jonesy's talking about.
I do love that he couldn't even get tickets to his own alma mater. He had to go through Tom.
Where he used to coach.
Maybe, and play. Jonesy, we can take what you just said, very eloquently put, based off of ideas that I had weeks ago, which is really the synthesis, I think, of our relationship. I spray garbage and then you come in and you're like, actually, maybe there are some nuggets in here that we can work together into a coherent thread in the long run. Anyway, maybe we can take what you just said and combine it with this. Maybe Tom wanted to punish Dan Dockich the best way that he knew how. And that was bringing him back to the scene of so many of his personal embarrassments. And then also make him watch this team and be in some way ingratiated to it.
Yeah.
Maybe Tom was like,
that's it.
This is the worst thing that I can do to Dan Dockich is to give him tickets to this game here under these circumstances with the inevitable outcome that we're going to have. And that's why he was there. It might be a four-dimensional chess Tom Izzo moment. I don't know.
Yeah, let me just say this, because I brought up couture. I brought up garb. I brought up those idiotic loose-fitting pants that AJ insists on wearing underneath his jersey like a fuck. But wait,
compression
let's say this.
Pants?
Well, compression would imply tightness. They're not tight.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't know what they are, but they're not good, and they serve no real purpose. But I do want to say this about couture, okay? Do you notice how Mike Woodson dresses when he coaches?
Suit, tie.
That's it. Izzo lost the suit and tie look, and it's been all downhill since. He needs to get his ass back in some Brooks Brothers, and I promise you, we will win a national championship.
All right.
That's all I have to say about that.
That is more than enough minutes about our basketball team, who will continue to make us feel it all. Hockey, we have some news. Obviously, big game coming up this weekend at Michigan State playing Ohio State. But the bigger news is that Adam Nightingale has been signed to the Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio deal. 5-year rolling contract that includes $700K in year one, increasing $25K every year, and a $100,000 retention bonus every 2 years, beginning September 30th of this year.
Which is effectively a $75K rolling addition every year.
Yeah.
So
it's a nice deal.
Additional money for the assistant coaches, because people are going to come knocking this offseason for these guys.
Yep.
Like there have got to have been a lot of heads that turned this season to be like, oh, a program that has a lot to offer, but multiple guys couldn't get it done, whether they were former conference, you know, presidents, or whether they were just sort of like former NHL players, whatever it is, it languished. I think we can acknowledge for a long period of time, but Knights came in and just aced it and did it in a way that it like makes you feel very confident for the long term. So people are going to be calling. The benefit of this is that there's not really a ton of places for Knights to go. Like when you're getting paid like this and you're getting the resources that you're getting, it's like this and then jump up to NHL head coach, which he's got NHL experience. He worked with the Wings. But like,
well, it's time you don't make a jump to head coach.
Yeah. This almost feels like you get, this is your next Tom Izzo, your next Mark D'Antonio, but it's the hockey version of that, which I wish that we had someone that we could talk hockey with, like, to get excited about that kind
of stuff. It's upsetting.
There's
no one that exists like this in, and at least not in our networks.
Yeah.
No.
Tough.
Listeners, if you know anyone who knows anything about hockey, please let us know. Preferably has been following the team for a bizarrely long time. Other news that's worth commenting on is the tennis team has received a $10 million commitment from Joan Sekia. That's a lot of cash. They've been good. They're capitalizing. It's Go Green Giving Day or whatever they call it right now. So
did you guys give green?
I did.
I would have, but I was too frustrated.
I also did. I found a listeners, go look in the College of Social Science. You'll find somewhere in there one of my contributions.
All right. Look at you.
I mean, it's worthwhile. You know, it's Give Green Day. So you have to, right? For Give Green Day.
Well, Peter Sekia made all his money just
SD4L? Is that a thing? Who's that go to?
Nope. Not thing. Not a thing.
I can assure you that it is not a thing.
Peter Sekia made all of his money through the, I don't know, something about forest, United Forest, something or other. Basically, destroying forests. He's probably the reason why we have greenhouse gases and climate change now. But did a lot of Republican fundraising. Good for him. Glad all of those millions Joan is nicely donating to the university where she received her elementary education degree. Thank you very much, Joan or Jean or whatever your name is. I don't care. But we're grateful to have your dollars. Let's put her. Is her name on anything? Any buildings? Tennis building?
Sekia Izzo
tennis complex.
It's on the softball building.
Very good. The Sekia softballs. Lesbian at heart. Love to see it.
Maybe that was the message.
I hope so. Whole time. I hope so. Yep.
Peter Sekia, all right. Listeners, died of COVID. We don't talk about it, but it's true. He died of COVID. That actually happened.
That's too bad. Get vaccinated.
Hoisted by
there are
own
two big things that
sorts.
Happened in COVID. One was that Alex Plum joined the podcast.
Yes.
And two is that Peter Sekia died of COVID.
Died of COVID. And that's your Michigan State COVID. That's really the only thing that should matter to most Michigan State folks is those two pieces of information.
And they tripled people up in rooms also. That was another big thing.
Three outcomes of COVID that are Michigan State related.
That money.
Sexy triples.
Should we head off Grand River but say a quick word about Mama's Mercantile and Eatery?
Sure.
So
we didn't eat there this week. Bummer.
We didn't. Real bummer. But I'm going to go ahead and do something fancy here. Mama's doing.
Oh, look at this.
Brunch.
This is for the YouTube set.
Yeah. So I've got the brunch menu up. Want to shout out the cocktail menu, which takes up like a solid third of it. Cocktails are fantastic. Cannot cannot recommend the Mamas enough. So if you get a chance, head over to Mama's Mercantile and Eatery. It is great food.
Speaking of libations, though, I think we need to honor and acknowledge a special friend of this podcast.
Oh,
the best, Mike Jones around. We're all drinking a little, well, maybe not Grouch, but the rest of us are drinking something special from the, what did he get you, that mug, that glass? Is that what you're pointing out?
He likes Michigan State. He likes the state of Michigan.
Okay. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's the just stupid. Just fucking stupid. I'm drinking the Flying Ace tonight. Cinnamon-flavored American-made whiskey with grain, neutral spirit, and caramel color. 70 proof. And I'll tell you, it is reminiscent of Fireball, which anyone who's listened to this pod knows is the spirit of choice among the three of
ubiquitous.
Us.
Yes.
Yes.
Of us tasteless gentlemen. The thing with Fireball, and you're never going to hear me really indict anything about it, other than I might say it is a little syrupy. Does not bother me. But if it bothered you, one could understand. And if so, I would say you want to try the Flying Ace. It is not syrupy. It has a much more palatable, typical classical whiskey mouthfeel, but it has all of the flavor punch that you would want in your Fireball. So as a cinnamon whiskey, I say to Michael Jones and to all the good folks at Flying Ace Spirits, Sláinte.
And I'm having the misunderstood ginger spice whiskey, which I've talked about here before, but it is a favorite of mine. It is a full 80 proof. So you're getting a real whiskey on this one. But it tastes like it's been kissed by Verner's. So I'm going to go ahead and say.
Ooh, putting a Michigan spin on it.
No, I really would have expected you to say something like Schweppes or something else horrible.
I'm not a monster.
And I will put in a word, even though I'm not drinking it actively, and people on YouTube know that. When Michael Jones was here, he made me not one, but two G's and T's, because the Jones family is known for their G's and T's.
Oh, my God.
We've got
just
balloons.
As my M1 Mac is known for its camera yes. animations that it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
The McQueen and the Violet Frog Gin in a gin and tonic, even when that tonic is months old in the fridge, spectacular.
It's great.
So next time you're reaching for something in that $25 to $30 range for gin,
that's it.
And you know that you don't want to rebuy tonic water, reach for McQueen and the Violet Frog, and it will make up the difference for you.
Covers it.
Truly, it was flat as hell, and it was still a pretty tasty G&T.
Yes.
Until I hear the same ringing endorsement from Cliff Jones, though, it will not suffice.
That requires its own dedicated podcast over the summer.
We should do a gin tasting with Cliff Jones. That's what we need to do.
He'll drink one and only one. He doesn't like the Liberator.
Well, okay. I wouldn't put the Liberator in a gin and tonic. Yeah,
you wouldn't waste the Liberator for that. But what we can do is we can have Cliff Jones make us a bunch of G's and T's using Mike Jones gins.
That's
and
it.
Then we talk about those.
That's it. That's a whole episode. Oh, the slurs.
of the words. The slurring of the words is what you mean.
Slurring of the words. Slurring of the words. The slurring of the words, literally. Can you cut out video? How do you?
Nope.
How do you cut out video?
All right, let's head off Grand River.
Oh, the slurs.
I'm putting it in now. All right, we got three things to hop to here. First, Kirk Cousins keeps tripping over bags. $180 million over 4 years, $100 million guaranteed. Dude is just fleecing people, will never win anything of consequence. And frankly, the trade to Atlanta tells me that he's resigned himself to that.
Good for guffaha. 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 Dirk Dozens, go on, man. Get your bags. Load them up. Donate them back. We'll have the Secchia Izzo Cousins school for tennis and softball players.
Speaking of which, those bags, Kirk, when you listen to this, definitely go into broadcasting after your career is over. Don't come home and go into politics. Don't bother with that. That's not what you want. That's not what you want.
Not in Michigan.
Want to be on TV where people can see you and you get to travel a little bit and you get to sign big contracts. Don't come back here and run for Congress or Senate or any of that kind of stuff. Just live off your golf course on Lake Michigan and then also do NFL commentary gigs.
Yep, that's it. Well done, you.
You're going to be rich as hell, bud.
Next up, there is a new hoops tourney being offered for college basketball that is an NIL inducement for the teams participating. $2 million total payout, $1 million to be split among the eight participating teams, with another $1 million awarded to the winning team. Also, asterisk, might be played in the Sphere. I don't know how we feel about that.
Can I speak as the podcast attendee that has been inside the Sphere?
Yes.
That's the dumbest shit I have ever heard. It makes no sense to watch sports in the Sphere.
Why were you there?
For work, for survey.
Why did you go in there?
Because it was like a team building exercise, which, let me tell you, didn't build a whole lot of team in there. But it does not make any sense. Like, it would make no sense to watch a game in the Sphere. It would make no sense to broadcast a game from the Sphere. It's just, if you want to watch a show there because you like the band, like someday Plum, if Wilco ever plays the Sphere, go. Fine. I get it.
But do you mean Guster?
Guster.
He did. I knew he did. That's it. But I'll take Wilco. I mean,
it was also a little bit of an egg. Like, I couldn't.
No, I knew what exactly you did. Right. I know what you did. I shouldn't have even acknowledged it. That was on me. There'll be a slur later for that.
Wilco was the slur.
Wilco was the slur.
Additional slurs.
That's right.
But the Sphere is the not the main point. This was a matter of time, right? That
100%. 100%.
And this is the first foray into the TV networks having to negotiate these things.
Well, and I think to that point, though, that's why they chose the Sphere. Because they said, listen, we're not taking ourselves seriously.
Exactly.
This isn't about basketball. This is the we're going to prove to you this isn't about basketball.
This is just spectacle and performative
endeavors to make more of it. That's it. Good for them.
Last up, and most seriously, though maybe also equally spectacle, Brenda Tracy is set to sue Michigan State University for $75 million, 50 for her, 25 for her nonprofit. And there it is. I think this is the shoe we all expected to drop. I'll just say, not totally up on my Civ Pro, the law involved, but I am a little concerned that Brenda deleted an awful lot of relevant text messages.
Ooh, hold on. I know what that means. Is it adverse interference, Michael? The one law term I learned. Oh, inference. Adverse.
The one half term
adverse with an I something something. Yes, I learned it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's applicable, how it operates in this case, but like, kind of bonkers to me that there's a whole bunch of relevant information about whether this was a consensual relationship that's been deleted by both parties.
Yeah. Well, you can't spell Craven without Brenda Tracy. So rooting for her and her health, wholeness, and hopefulness for her future, as long as it doesn't involve any money from this university.
Which also, does $75 million represents what percentage of the amount paid out to survivors of Larry Nassar?
That would be less than 20-ish percent.
That's actually
18%, something like that.
That's a massive percentage. Like, I think it's worth, we all keep that in perspective.
Yeah.
That, because I don't think any of us have a problem with the amount that MSU paid out.
Not a finger.
That person did.
Oh, yes.
So, just saying.
It also represents, we know what she charges, you know, because she was a university vendor. And that's public record in this. We know what she was charging for that, for those appearances. How many appearances is $75 million? 10K a pop, 75 million. That's a lot of appearances. It's an awful
lot. Even if you take it at 25 mil, that's a lot of appearances.
A lot of appearances that Brenda thought that she was going to make before this happened, even though we also know that she didn't have any money and she wasn't making any appearances anymore, and no universities had, you know, hired her for a while. Anyway.
Exhausting.
She was definitely sexually harassed by a university employee, and she probably does deserve something for that. I mean, yeah, right? Like, she definitely was harassed. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
She was found to be harassed.
Mm-hmm. So there is something to that.
But we can also, you don't help your credibility.
People on YouTube know that after I said that, I picked up my beer and I looked into camera and I took a drink.
I'm still used to audio only. All right. Do you want to preview the Minnesota game?
Yeah, please do that. Do it. Do it.
Start with Dawson Garcia. That's what you're supposed to say.
Dawson, do you remember Garcia. What happened last time we played them?
Do you remember?
Was it good or bad?
Plum, do you want to talk? Do you want to talk about certain families on the Minnesota roster? Do you want to get into that?
Dawson Garcia can't be stopped. No, hitting.
Is he choosing not to?
There was an invitation to you.
I'm not taking it. I won't take it. I'm not going to.
I won't talk. There will be no acknowledgement of Cam Christie on this podcast.
And I'll tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay? Because while his brother rides the bench in LA, which is where he belongs, if anywhere, this is where, I don't know what his name was, Morph Christie. I don't know. What did I call him last time we talked about this? I had a different name for him. I can't remember. I cared so little about them that I made up even a different name. Morph Christie. Anyway, I swear to God, though, if we give him another 20, how many? 20 points or something, wasn't it? 19, 20, 21. Someone was like around 20 points. I think he lit us off.
He went off from three.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was a lot.
Break his knees. Jalouli. Def Jalouli. You got to get him with a tire iron. Anyway, between him and Garcia, my God, the three shooting. I'll say it was a statistical anomaly. They can't possibly be that effective. Please be that effective when we play them on Thursday.
He was 5 for 7 from 3, 19 points.
My God. My Lord and my God. No, I don't want to talk about it. I hate it. But they will beat us. I look forward to that.
Yeah, going on the road in Minneapolis to play Minnesota, I don't care what time of day it is. I don't trust this team, and I don't think they're going to win. I just don't.
Can I say this, though? If they do win, we got to play Purdue the next day. And that's why I want us to lose against Minnesota. Because I don't want to watch us get drubbed again by Zach Edey. Does anyone?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, we almost beat them last time. We only lost by 6, Alex. So what do you want?
Maybe
on a neutral floor. We could. What truly, though, what do we talk about next week after everything that we just said about the entire program? If this team goes to Minneapolis and then beats Minnesota effectively at home, then beats Purdue.
Yeah.
Maybe
wins the Big Ten tournament.
Like, And then like AJ Hogard plays out of his mind. Like,
well, that would be par for the course, isn't it? That's par for. And you know what? Like, you know what Cassius did? He just fucking won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Denzel, Draymond, like, I'm sorry. I have no room for. I, short of a national championship, I don't know that I'm going to remember AJ Hogard in any other way than an insufferable point guard.
That's it. That's it. All right. I can't do this anymore. I hate them. Time for Twitter questions.
Let's Twitter question you guys.
First up, Graham Couch. Wow. Hey, Graham. Hey, guy. Hey, my guy. Graham asks, Tuesday night, in reference to the recording of this pod, where am I supposed to get the analysis I pass off as my own before then?
It seems, Graham, like this was a
I'm thankful you owned question. This.
It's clever. Very clever.
I am thankful you've owned this. If we read your columns.
They're always good. They're always good. Yeah,
because
truly.
We're good.
Because we're good. Because we parrot ourselves through you, Graham. But the one thing you haven't done, Graham, parroting you, is you haven't called Tom Izzo a charlatan to his face and demanded accountability for his ineptitude this season. And I'd like to know when you plan to do that. God knows Solari won't. And he'll probably block me on Twitter for even saying as much. But when will you?
Well, that's because he knows that a confirmed listener, Alan Haller, is going to forward Tom Izzo this episode,
this episode
in a drunken rage. So he doesn't have to. Graham streets ahead in that way.
Yeah, well done.
Keeps his hands clean. Next up, listener Mike Jones. How does Izzo attack this offseason? Each of you give me two numbers, 0 to 10, what you want to happen and what you think will happen. 0, does absolutely nothing, rolls with the incoming recruits. 10, wholesale changes staff and adds multiple guys from the portal or somewhere in between.
Hold on. We should all say our number at the same time. That way we know it's true. It's genuine.
Internet latency is going to be really good.
Yes, it's going to be perfect.
All right, let's go. On the count of 3.
All right, so want to happen is first, and then think to happen is second.
Okay, want to happen, think to happen. Okay, great.
Okay. So 0 to 10 on want to happen, think to happen, 0 to 10.
All right,
so want to happen, 1, 2, 3, 7.
8. 10.
We got 7, 8, and 10.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
Now let's do actual happen.
Okay.
1,
count
2, 3,
6.
4.
Six. Oh,
six is high.
Defend yourself, sir.
Six is high.
Whoa.
Okay. That was 3, 4, and 6 for any of the latent nerds out there. What do you think is going to happen?
I think he gets a big. I think he gets a wing. And
you think AJ goes into his office and says, I want one more year. And Tom
says, get out.
Passes him a glass of bleach.
That's a 1. That's nothing. That does not even register. I'm more concerned. Jonesy.
I think if Motti comes back, he says, great, happy to have you, but you ain't going to play unless, like, I need to give fouls. Like, that's your role here. Mm-hmm. And I think there might be staff changes. If what we talked about earlier about Tom mm-hmm. Izzo's competitive drive
being there,
like if that is true,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how he can look at this season and frankly, the character of this team and say, I want anything to do with that. And if he thinks between Jeremy Fears and Trey Holloman and you know what? Fuck it. Carson Cooper. Like, you know, if he thinks he's got Cohen Carr, if he thinks he's got guys there that he can get into.
Yeah.
Then I think he makes changes and I don't think it's crazy for him to do that stuff. Like, I know he likes his staff as people, but I think Tom Izzo likes the idea of a second Natty more than he likes a person. I think he likes that the idea of a second Natty more than he likes Lupe or Stevie or his grandkid that he handed back off immediately after receiving it. Like,
did not want to hold. Did not want to hold.
Stevie on senior day has held that kid more than we've ever seen Tom Izzo hold that kid.
So, the answer is probably more like a 4-5, but like, if you told me the things I said happened, I don't think they're crazy.
Well, good question, Mike Jones. You really riled up the hornet's nest. Next, yeah. From Mike Jones, if Kirk Cousins plays all 4 years of his new contract with the Atlanta Falcons, he will have earned over $400 million in his NFL career. When does he make a donation to MSU, and what kind of building will they name after him? I think he has already made contributions to MSU, but not of that scale.
It's going to be a joint donation with the Sekias for social inclusion, but not in the way that's sort of woke. It's
for, more yeah, like, that's yeah, right.
Sick, get
yeah.
together.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or
the
pickleball
Holland edition of yep, social the, inclusion.
The old pickleball court. The old Dirk Dozens pickleball court.
He'll and then also from Mike Jones,
Three North Lounge. That case.
So dumb. It's good though.
What is this third thing? He sent out a bracket. I didn't see this. This seems like a visual gag.
Yeah, no. He did what he does every year. He created a bracket for us, a bracket that's... challenge for us, to which nice. Sarah G. I think
Sarah
asked the better question.
Why?
Uh-uh.
We've talked about this. Varum. Interestingly,
Sarah is a Malik Hall defender in a way that Kate Wall would be envious of.
Ooh, so, Sarah, well done you.
So the idea that Sarah has reached this level of apathy is intriguing to me.
You know what I hope? There was a girl in college named Sarah Grams, and I'm going to choose to believe that Sarah G is Sarah Grams, even though I believe she's married and isn't named Sarah Grams anymore.
It's
don't care.
Gender.
Don't care. She's, don't care. Okay. Sarah
she's
Grams.
Definitely not. I was at that wedding.
Oh, you were at Sarah also, Grams' wedding?
I was. Yeah. Yeah. Which was actually, she doesn't listen. This is not a Jess scenario. So we don't have to get into the whole thing.
Okay.
But yeah. We see you still out there, Jess. We know you're still listening.
Sarah Grams. Oh, Sarah Grams.
Next up from Ev Marie, is there any reason for optimism? Ev, you've listened this far in the podcast.
I've got one. Do any of us strike you as overtly optimistic? My God.
I've got one.
I have one too, but you go first.
Truly. There's going to be, I don't know how many Big Ten teams in the tournament, not many as historically, but there's going to be plenty of Big Ten teams in the tournament. Is there anyone that is coached by someone you believe has a better chance of making a Final Four than Michigan State? Hoiberg going?
I mean,
constantly choking on applesauce? Matt Painter going?
Is
this just like, is this a Matt Painter own that you're kind of just like dressing up?
No, is fucking Brad Underwood going to go to the Final Four? Like, I mean, truly.
Underwood.
Who in the field, if you make the field, do you think has a better chance of going somewhere than Michigan State? And I appreciate that I've got my green colored glasses, but like, I will ride with Tom in the tournament all day, every day.
The problem
because you have no choice.
The problem is that it doesn't matter what happens in the Big Ten. It's 65 other teams, many of which aren't from the Big Ten. And
most importantly that. But my hope, Ev Marie, my reason for optimism is you willfully going into the field of medicine despite knowing so much better. But you're doing it anyway. And into psychiatry, a field that is, they take their hits. So well done you. That's my reason for optimism is you. You. Kate Wall up next. You can take the dog out of Aaron Henry, Kate says, and inject it into one player on this team. Who do you choose? And it can't be AJ because it won't matter. I mean,
that was not her question because I was going to say it's AJ.
There's a dog deficit there that not even the Aaron Henry dog can
fix. But if it's not AJ, then it's Malik, right?
Yeah, it's Malik. I think it's Malik because I think Malik, all Malik needed in him, and I get that he got double teamed.
Jackson
he
Kohler.
Still showed no real fighting spirit. What he needed against Indiana was dog, and he didn't have it.
I have to, for the moment, take this opportunity to commend my podcast host for using Kate's question against her in certain ways.
Ah, well, that was
really well done. So anyway, Plum, continue.
All right, next up from Kate Walls. Is it a blessing in disguise that we play at noon on Thursday in the Big Ten tournament? So many of us who are sadistic enough to want to watch this team won't be able to during the workday, though I definitely will be refreshing the ESPN app every 15 seconds.
Can we discuss whether this is sadism or masochism or sadomasochism?
It's both. And she did it to hurt me because she's heard me say so many times how horrible that app experience is, but not with YouTube TV. Fixes everything except for when it's on the Peacock. Ugh. Alas.
Yeah. I think the thing that hurts the most is that we're in this time slot. That's what bothers me.
Yeah,
I can handle it when it's the NCAA tournament. I can't handle it when it's the Big Ten tournament.
I slacked my boss at the end of the day listing all of my accomplishments from today. Like I had an incredible day today. It was packed and I crushed. And then I said, by the way, can we move our one-on-one on Thursday out of noon to some other time? Because honestly, I'm looking to second screen at that time to watch the Michigan State game. So that was my strategy.
You're the kind of employee I would fire on a Tuesday, Michael. That's what I want you to know.
I think you would respect my honesty. I choose to believe.
No, that. Not because otherwise, of that, but because of the recitation, the litany of your own achievements that you felt you had to slack me. That would be disqualifying. Just that alone. Look how tickled he is. I live to just give a comment that'll tickle Kevin Grooch right in the Grooch.
Next all up, right. The search. Drew that Valentine or Fred Hoiberg?
It's been interesting watching the discourse among Michigan fans that are like, let's get Hoiberg in here tomorrow. Call it for the mayor. Interesting.
I've not seen this.
It happens. And there, Plum just did a spit take over there on YouTube.
I did. I was confused.
One thing though, one of our, I talked earlier in this episode about takes that I'm really proud of. I mentioned on a podcast like a month or two ago that I hadn't checked in on Drew Valentine. Mistake. Huge mistake. Yeah. Dude is huge killing mistake. It at Loyola
killing
Chicago.
It. Yeah.
So he, of course, is a brother.
And two top 100 recruits.
Yep. International top 100 recruits. So like it's innovative. In addition, of course, brother of Denzel Valentine, spent 1 year on staff here after graduating from Oakland. I think that's right.
That sounds right.
So kind of is the heir apparent in the way that like there are no other heir apparents and is doing very, very, very well at Loyola Chicago. Not going to the Final Four, but still Sister Jean has to be pleased with what she's seeing.
She's saying her rosaries for old Drew.
I maintain their uncle or Weekend at Bernie's ing her. Next up, Jer Bear. What football season would you pair with this basketball season as the most unlikable season for both? Assuming your answer for most unlikable basketball team is this team. It's 2016, right?
2004. I was like 2004, 2005. I don't know. John L. Smith not giving a fuck. 2006, I guess, maybe. Maybe 2006, John L. Smith.
Yeah. Or maybe this most recent football team. I don't know.
So Jonathan Smith did an interview on the College Game Day podcast. He was there for like 35, 40 minutes. And he said something we've said on this podcast that team could have won seven games. Like the effort from, unlike this basketball team, the effort never stopped from them. I mean, Harlan Barnett robbed them of a couple wins. Him literally single-handedly robbed them of a couple wins. So, I don't know. I think coming off of the 2015 season and the accomplishments there, and then going into 2016 and going 3-9, and knowing that they were divided over 2016 politics makes it worse.
So much worse.
All right, let's do second question from Jer Bear. Can we let Tom have a press secretary a la the White House instead of his post-game answers?
Is that better? Is Karine Jean-Pierre or whatever, like, is she going to be like the anger interpreter? I don't know. What does this mean?
What was the Obama White House press secretary? That bit, is that what you mean? The
The White House Correspondence Center when he had the anger interpreter. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Keegan, but I don't think that's what I meant, but I don't think that's what he means. That's why I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what he means here, because is it like Tom is a doddering?
I think it's Tom just says the same stuff over and over about, like, I can't coach this team. You can't blame me, but, you know, if my guards play better, which is also him blaming his
But
players.
That's the job of a press secretary. I mean, he's his own press secretary. Press secretary's job is to give all the information without giving any answers. To give you everything you need with none of the actual accountability. That's what Tom is his own best press secretary.
So yeah, but maybe it'd be better if it didn't come from him. But anyway, fair point. Next up, Cedar Village Bagel. What would the best use of Kirk Cousins' new contract for Michigan State Athletics be? I mean, the guy will have made over $400 million in his career. Do we need a new building, stadium renovation, basketball assistant pool, or the dreaded NIL money pit? Notably, his use of the word pool doesn't include an actual pool.
Pool. Oh, that's right. Don't drown that money in the IM circle. My God. No, drown it in the NIL money pit where it'll throw away. Speaking of money pits, why don't you donate it to my home renovation fund, where I guarantee you I will blow it on things like PEX and plaster. Fuck.
And a literal money pit that's truly in that corner of the building.
Truly. Beth Amaro. I like Beth. You know? Winsome. Winsome is how I would describe Beth. Unlike this team, not winsome. Beth, in the spirit of the Oscars, let's start casting for the biopic of Can't Read, Can't Write. I'll start. reading.
There's a lot of ahead. Stretching that's about to
Greg,
happen.
Greg, Chris Pratt or John Krasinski? Michael Jones, Robert Downey Jr. or James Franco? Plum. Bruno Kirby or Bruno Kirby? Oh, that's good. We're all highlighting, like, what does Bruno Kirby look like? I'll take it.
I love that this was a big setup just for the plum. Bruno Kirby.
It's so good.
Really, really good comedy.
Excuse me. He died at age 57. Beth, what the fuck? Shit.
And in 2006, this is not a recent happening.
But it was a John L. Smith happening.
Hey, Plum, just for listeners/viewers, is Greg like lagging in slow-mo for you?
No.
Okay, nope. Perfect. Because he's been doing it ever since he came back for me. So this is fantastic.
Oh, poor little guy.
This is just telling next up, the podcast listeners that I took a light break.
Just a light break.
That we break. Would have been clear if they just subscribed to the YouTube channel, which is what they get to find out if they subscribe.
They do.
Next up, Beppe Plum with, I pre-read this one, and I think there's a real missed opportunity here. What are the vampire ratings 1 through 5? Jay Billis, Count Chocula, the horsey rat bastard Bo Ryan, Count Dracula / Vlad the Impaler, and Count Van Count. Beppe Plum, the fact that Coach K is not on this list is...
That's 100% correct.
Like, you put Jay Billis on here, but you didn't... I don't even really want to answer.
I agree.
Someone else answer.
I can't. No, I'm gonna stick with you in solidarity because it's Mike Krzyzewski all the way. 10 out of 10. True vampire faced. He's the real rat faced mother of vampires.
Yeah. Plum, pre-read this next one and tell me if we should read it out loud.
I'm going to read it out loud live. Here we go. Beppe Plum, Final Fantasy VII Remake. I heard this was happening. Final Fantasy VII Remake uses the sound from the Sony cameras from just before you take the picture. Ooh. It was cool at first. Now, meh. I keep yelling cheese and posing with my hand on my hip like Honduran women. The pose is famously part of their culture. Neat, eh? Now you know. First search Bruno Kirby, now search Honduran women pose.
So the interesting thing about it, it's
are they
not
yelling
just
cheese,
this.
Not queso, cheese.
I think this is the sorority girl pose. I think that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know.
How do we feel about Apple phone, the iPhone taking those sort of like half picture, half movie things? Those like
oh, the live things? Live. You can turn it off. You can disable it.
That's the first thing that I do when I get a new
you get
iPhone.
A new phone.
You know who I know? It's not the first thing that they do is Mike Jones, who texts us live photos all the time, whether he knows it or not.
It's always the bathroom too. I got to say, it's a little unattractive.
I want you to have both.
Well, and
I
we
want
do.
You to, I want, what's wild about this though, listeners and watchers, is that Kevin is essentially admitting that he sees the opportunity to see more and says, yes, I need that.
So, well, I just keep thinking that it's going to pay off.
And, yeah, it never does.
It never does.
No.
Never does.
Nate C up next. This team is desperately trying to make it to the tournament and they're playing tight because of it. They're rightfully scared they won't make it. And that's the difference between them and dogs. They aren't mentally tough enough. Knowing this, is it even worth them going?
Yes. I want to go to the tournament.
Sure. I want $1 million. You know?
Right.
But I refuse to invest my money. I put it all underneath the bed or in the house. So what are we going to do?
I actually disagree with Nate C on this.
Ah.
I don't think this team is desperately trying to do anything.
There you go.
I would agree with that.
I don't think that they're getting tight because they're like so worried. I think that they're entitled. I think that they don't care. I think it'll all work out. And truly, I think that they're just interested in their... Did you guys read all the comments this week from Saban about how all the kids care about these days for their NIL money? Not to be all old man, you know, yells at cloud, but I think the guys on this team know that they're getting their biggest payday that they're going to get. And because they're not arch competitors, they're just sort of like, I got mine, you know?
Yep, that's
it. Next stop, you know, Bulgaria or whatever. But this year, right now, I'm going to live it up. And I don't particularly care what happens with this team. I don't care if it wins. Yep. I don't care if it loses. I care about my personal accolades. And I care about learning Chinese to borrow a joke from NBA Dank. On Reddit.
Well done. Last up from Nate C from Michael Jones. Hockey. I don't have any questions, but they deserve more attention than they'll get. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement?
I think it's fair because Nate C is a listener and he knows that we just don't, despite all of our efforts, have
get anyone
a
on.
Hockey resource.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which next we up regret is terribly.
I mean, we are hockey. We know as much as the standard person. So,
sure.
Next up is Mamopoli, who asks, MSU is seeking community input for a memorial for the February 13th, 2023 campus shooting. That moment is past, on at least in the anniversary. Anyway, she directs you to msu.co1.qualtrics.com/JFE/form/SV_6ZKITYEVP.
What is happening on?
Yeah, this would be easier if it was a SurveyMonkey.
What is going on? Who uses Qualtrics? What are you talking about, Susan?
Plum, if I told you that you click on this link and it takes you to some place called XM, would you understand
That's pornography. Susan, develop a Google form like the rest of us. Come on. Clunky, tied to nothing, one of 7 or 8 color choices. It's simple, okay? It's not going to overwhelm. It doesn't need to have fancy analytics. Most importantly, it's not based in Utah. Get with the program. My God.
Next, additionally, she says, how do you think the $300,000 set aside for the Start Strong Fund for this memorial should be used?
That's not the important part of the question, though. Let's not get distracted.
This is not good.
Meanwhile, I still have the Bruno Kirby tab open on my browser.
Damn you, Susan. Damn you.
Susan, I just want to say, for all your other questions, which is truly terrible, this is fantastic.
It's such your best question, but what?
All right, next up from Muffly. I see that the nice Mr. Jones, that it says something about me.
That's the other one. It's the other one.
Is offering an invite to join the can't write bracket. Thank you. So, how many brackets will you fill out / join this tournament cycle? How many will cost you money? And when's the last time you won a group bracket?
I only ever do one.
Yeah. I won't pay, and I've never won.
I've won before. I've won. It was a few years ago, Neighborhood Pool.
We'll join this one. I joined several year.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I won 1 year on this pod. I won the pods. The one that we put together, I won.
So there you go. Own it.
Yeah, it was like my first year on the pod. Yeah.
Be proud of your accomplishments, Alex Plum. You're go here to Kansas be a subject State. Matter expert.
Yes, so own it. Prognostication. Last up, the Upper Deck Jerk Guy. Why should I care about Michigan State basketball anymore? You shouldn't. Who's the biggest disappointment this year? AJ Hogard. So you think if Plum didn't badmouth Mac so much, we could have got Cam? What about Fletcher if the fan base didn't shit on Foster?
Okay.
That's for you two.
That's... It does, you want to talk about talent and stuff. Maybe not so much for Max Cam, but definitely for Fletcher Foster. Rough. The
way that went. Rough is correct.
Quite rough. So brutal.
Fletcher is what the gene pool promised. Raymond didn't submit. I checked.
Our apologies. So.
Raymond, where were you this week, my guy? Come on. We live for you.
Do you guys want to speculate on this week and Tom Izzo, what it was like? Did the whole family gather around and watch the Kiss the S documentary on the Big Ten Network? Is that what happened?
It was Tom having to find creative ways to tell people to fuck off because they keep sending him that athletic link of that heartwarmingly nauseating story about Stevie. And Tom's like, it's not written about me.
I'm not.
I don't care.
All right. Gentlemen, we're nearing the end. And we'll either feel like champions or this will play out exactly as we anticipate. So with that, I will say a sincere go green.
Go white.
Go white.